Numbers 35. I missed my little light. Numbers 35, but we're going to get that back. Numbers 35. Now, I thought I had lost. I come into the hot house, cold house earlier, and I thought that I had lost my sermon, and because I lost my Bible. So I went back in the back, got my old Bible, and started working on another sermon, and thought, well, that's the Lord didn't want me to preach the other ones. And then right when I get it settled what I'm going to preach, then somebody walks up with my Bible and says, "Preacher, is this your Bible?" So now I'm totally confused. Should I preach both?
Yes.
Amen. Numbers 35. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. I preach either one of them, it'll be good. Numbers 35. And a lady left out of here this morning. She shook my hand. She said, "We've been to churches all over this county, and nobody sings anymore. This is the first time we've been in church with a congregation singing in a long time."
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, Numbers 35. There'll be a short business meeting right after church. Don't take off, okay? Let's start with verse 9. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye be come over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you, with the slayer, that the slayer may flee thither, which killeth any person at unawares. And they shall be unto you cities for refuge from the avenger, that the manslayer die not, until he stand before the congregation in judgment. And of these cities ye shall give six cities shall ye have for refuge. Ye shall give three cities on this side of Jordan, and three cities shall ye give in the land of Canaan, which shall be the cities of refuge. These six cities shall be a refuge both for the children of Israel and for the stranger and for the sojourner among them, that everyone that killeth any person unawares may flee thither." Skip down for the sake of time to verse 19. You ought to read the whole chapter. Verse 19, "The revenger of blood himself shall slay the murderer. When he meeteth him, he shall slay him." Go down to verse 25. "And the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the revenger of blood, and the congregation shall restore him to the city of his refuge, whether he was fled. And he shall abide in it unto the death of the high priest, which was anointed with the holy oil. But if the slayer shall at any time come without the border of the city of his refuge, whether he was fled, and the revenger of blood find him without the borders of the city of his refuge, and the revenger of blood kill the slayer, he shall not be guilty of blood, because he should have remained in the city of his refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the slayer shall return into the land of his possession." Father, we ask you to bless the reading of your word tonight. Make it simple, make it pure, make it holy, but help us to leave here saying it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Speak to us, Lord. We're like little Samuel when he said, "Speak, Lord. Thy servant heareth." We come to hear from thee. And Lord, thank you for good music. Thank you for good fellowship. But Lord, most of all, thank you for the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God that we can turn to and learn and grow and change. And Lord, we'll thank you for whatever you do in Jesus' wonderful name. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11 says, "Everything in the Old Testament was for an example to us in New Testament times." And so we can take this story of the cities of refuge and apply it to our salvation. When you read the Old Testament, as you're reading, look for Jesus. You'll find him. Now, you might not find him by that name, but you'll find him by example, by illustration, sometimes by actions. You'll find Jesus in the Old Testament. And that's why Paul, inspired by the Holy Ghost, says that all those things in the Old, all those symbolic things were illustrated of our salvation in the New Testament. Some people say, "I don't like to read the Old Testament because it doesn't apply to me." The whole Bible applies to you. Now, not all the Bible that we have to, maybe we don't have to go by certain things. We don't eat by the dietary laws of the Jew. That was examples. That was symbols, and we don't have to do that. But it's still good for us. Now, you go to the doctor, and he'll tell you to go by those. He'll say, don't eat too much seafood. Don't eat pig. Well, that ruined that doctor right there with most of us right there. That's just don't eat buzzards. Don't eat frogs. Well, that wrote him off right there for every Southern boy right there. Don't eat frogs. But anyway, it's for an example. So when we come to the city of refuge, and there's more of them, there's six. There's three on each side of the Jordan River. And that was symbolic of it's good for the Jew and the Gentile. And so therefore, when we come to that, we have to figure out what he's talking about, because we don't have things like this. Here's what he talks about. Turn to Genesis chapter 9, verse 6. Why are these cities here? Genesis chapter 9, verse 6. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by him shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. Now, whether you believe in the death penalty or not, God does. And God said, if you take a man's life, a man is to take your life. Mankind. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That's why we as a civilized society have the death penalty. We do. And I know if you're from some of those states that don't. South Carolina hasn't practiced it in a long time, but we've got about 20-something people sitting on death row right now waiting for their just desert. But because of liberals and because of unbelief in the Bible, it keeps getting put off. One man's been in there over 26 years right now waiting to die. Now, that's cruel, inhumane punishment right there. You make me wait. I'd say, shoot me now. You know, don't wait 26 years. I'm sitting around here waiting on this thing. But in the Old Testament, God said, if you take a person's life, then your life is to be taken. Well, Moses went even farther with that, and he said it's the next of kin that is to take the life of the murderer. But in that law, he puts a little amendment that says, I'm making these cities a refuge for the innocent slayers of blood. Now, you might have been out in the field and chopping wood, and the axe head came off and hit your neighbor behind you who was talking to you, and then he died. Then his brother's supposed to come get you. You wouldn't think that was funny. His brother's supposed to come get you and kill you. That was his duty. He was supposed to do that. Or some ladies might be working in the field and one accidentally killed the other one. Well, her next of kin was supposed to come kill that woman. That's the way it was. So God said, okay, I've got to make something for the innocent. So he made these six cities, and he said, we just read it, that if you accidentally shed blood, you kill somebody accidentally, you flee to one of these cities. None of them were over a day's journey. All of them had well-paved roads to them. All the roads were well-marked to get to that city, because everybody knew what the cities were, because God appointed the cities, and I'm not getting into all that. But there was always one near. Now, look at Psalm 34:18, if you will. Psalm 34:18. I said everything's an example for a Christian. Psalm 34:18 says this, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as a contrite spirit. Now, that gives place to an innocent person who is accidentally sinned, and now they've got a contrite heart. They're not a murderer, and they don't feel good about what they did. So God gave them a place to flee. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? And then again, in Psalm 145:18, he says this. In 145:18, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. So God made these cities to prove that he is nigh, he's always close by, and he's always available with mercy and grace, and God made these cities. Now, so outside that city, there was no hope. If you accidentally killed your neighbor or somebody at work or something, you know, you had an accident and that person died, outside of that city, you had the death penalty on you. And everybody knew it. And nobody could help you. if anybody defended you, then they had the death penalty on them too. So therefore, outside of that city, the accidental lawbreaker was doomed. Y'all got me? But you had six cities you could flee to, cities of refuge. Now, is that not just like Ephesians 2:12, without God and without hope in this world? That's what he said about us. He said, we are without God and without hope in this present world. So therefore, we as sinners, accidental lawbreakers, I didn't mean to be born a sinner, did you? Now, Lady Gaga might be proud of the fact that she was born that way, but I'm not proud of the fact that I was born that way. Amen?
Amen.
I'm not proud of the fact that I was born a sinner. I'm an accidental sinner. It didn't happen because I chose. It happened because I was born that way. I'm a descendant of Adam, and he was not an accidental sinner. He did it on purpose. But I've got his blood flowing through me. So if a natural born person is naturally going to break the law of God, and when you break the law of God, there's a natural result, which is called death. Now, the wage of sin is still death. I don't care what the economy says. I don't care if it goes up or it goes down. The wages of sin will always be death. And so every one of us is wearing a mark on us that says sinner. And every one of us, as we go through this life, every one of us is fleeing the slayer. That's the revenger. We're fleeing him because he is that old slew foot, old smutty face. You know him, don't you? We call him the devil. His job is to destroy us. He came to kill and to destroy. He didn't come to give life. Jesus said, I came to give life. The devil is the author of all death. It's his fault that we die in the first place because he's the one that led Adam and Eve into sin, and we've inherited that. So we're naturally fleeing from what we deserve anyway. Are y'all still with me?
Yes.
So we're running through this life and we're avoiding death as much as we can. And sometimes if you'll think about it, especially you older folks, God's had mercy on most of us. We should have got what was coming to us a long time ago. Amen?
Yes.
I mean, while you were lost and going to hell, he had mercy on you. Billy tells his testimony. He should have died one time in a car wreck. Many of us could say that. We were in places and doing things and around people that we should have been dead in hell already. But God had mercy on us. And even when we were lost, didn't recognize him, he did that, see. Now, in Ephesians chapter 2, it says that we're without God, without hope. Would you agree with that? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness, see. So, after I was born and I grew up, and as you grow older, you realize there is a God in heaven, and you realize you're not right with God. If you're honest, you'll realize that. And as you do that, you'll realize there's a target on your back. And the death angel is just unhappy every day he doesn't hit that target. And every day we're fleeing death. And every day we're avoiding death. And every day we try to be careful not to die. But we, in the back of our mind, it's always there. Somebody's after me. Somebody's after me. Now, I've had all kinds of experiences with the devil. I know you have. But boy, we could hear some of them make the hair stand up on the back of your neck. I'll never forget, I was going down the road one day. I was dating my wife. I was about 17 or 18 by then. And I'm going down toward Fort Lawn. It's about 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, and I'd left her house. And I'm going down the road by myself, and I got that radio blasting in that 66 Chevelle, you know, and it's blasting and playing Jesus Christ Superstar. That's what it's playing on the radio. Yeah, and I didn't know God. But I had went to see the movie, and I didn't understand the movie. I didn't understand why at the end Judas got off the bus and Jesus didn't. It was terrible. But I was lost. I didn't know no better. I went with some other friends to see that. But that song was really an anti-Christ movie. It was not and the song's anti-Christ song. It was not a Christian song. And it kept repeating, Jesus Christ, superstar, who in the world do you think you are? And it just kept saying that over and over and over. And I was going by this old beer joint down there on going down to Fort Long. And I was going by this old black folks had a beer joint there. And I passed it many times. They'd be out there, you know. But I went by it this time. It was burnt down. It was gone. And as I'm going by it, that thing's just blasting. My mother-in-law always said, I hear you 30 minutes before you ever get here. And that thing just blasts, you know, and I'm singing along with it, but I just feel strange. And I felt like there was somebody standing on the side of the road at that place wanting to ride. I really did. I felt like there was somebody wanting to ride, and I needed to pick them up. This is true. Now, y'all going to think I'm crazy when I get through, but I'm just showing you how that old devil and the death is after us. And so I feel it so much, I slow down just to... I mean, it's dark. It's 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I get real slow, and this song blasting, I can feel something. You know, when you was lost, you get these spooky feelings, and there ain't nobody there, and I just about stop. But then I start off again. I feel like somebody got in the car. I really did. I felt like somebody was in the car with me. You said that was your imagination. It might have been, but God sure did use it, because I'm going up the road, and that thing's blasting, and I'm thinking, there's somebody sitting over there. And so I'm going down the road, and I'm doing about 60, you know, and this is how much I felt like. I've reached over there to feel if there was somebody there, you know. I even reached all the way over to the other door just to make sure there wasn't nobody. Then I felt like he was in the back seat, and I looked in the mirror, and I thought, well, that booger done got in the back seat. I'm scared to death. That music just still blasting, Jesus Christ, superstar, who in the world do you think you are? And chills running up down my back, and I'm looking back there, and I'm thinking, there's somebody back there. The devil is in the car with me. And I didn't know nothing about the devil, but I felt like it wasn't God. Man, I was scared. I was really feared for my life. And y'all may not believe that. 17 years old, I know 17-year-olds are crazy, but sometimes they got a little sense, you know, and I'm scared. And then I start slowing down. I feel like after the song finally goes off, he wants out. I really felt that. I wasn't drunk. I was sober. If I wasn't, I'd have been sober by the time I got through. And so I slowed the car down and just about stopped, and I felt the presence leave. I was in a cold sweat. And I looked back on it. You know what that could have been? That could have been that man trying to kill me. You see, let me tell y'all something. The devil knows a lot of things you and I don't know. He's been around since before the creation of the world. And he's seen a lot of me and you come and go. Billions of me and you come and go. And somehow he knows what God's going to do with people sometimes. I didn't know what God was going to do with me, but I think the old slayer knew what the old devil, he knew what God had planned for me. And he was out to stop it, and God didn't let him. God didn't let him. Thank God he didn't. But if he'd have done it, I'd have got what I deserved anyway. Now I know all y'all going to go home and say our preacher's lost his mind, he needs medication. But sometimes spiritual experiences are good things for lost people. And people start telling me their spiritual experience, I try to hear God in it, even if they're lost. Amen? And so therefore, I was without God, and I was without hope in this world. If you want to see what people like, how we grew up, people my age, they call us baby boomers, born between like what, 45 and 60 or something like that, 1900s, you know. And I was born 54. If you want to see what it's like for us, I want you to get on, you can see it on Netflix. I think there's a documentary by that Burns fella. He did one on the Civil War. He did one on the World War I, World War II, and he did one on the Vietnam War and what was going on in the country during that time. You'll see people, you'll see us in there. And you'll see how we grew up, see. And you'll see how this nation turned against God. And you'll see how it messed up all the young people, see. And so the old devil, he's been out to kill us a long time. Amen? Now, Abner, in the Old Testament, Joseph had a son named Abner. Well, David had a son named Abner. And Abner was a rebel. He wanted to destroy his father. He wanted to take over the throne. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 3. 2 Samuel chapter 3, if you will. 2 Samuel. I'll give you a second to get there. This is the story of Abner. Now, Abner was typical of a lost sinner. Abner was. He was typical of a lost sinner. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 3. All right, look at verse 27. In verse 27, and when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly and smote him there under the fifth rib, that he died for the blood of Asahel his brother. Now look at verse 32 and 33. And they buried Abner in Hebron, and the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept. And the king lamented over Abner and said, died Abner as a fool dies? Now, why would he say that about him? Well, he killed his own brother. And when he did that, then he ran to the city of refuge, which was Hebron. That was one of them. And when he did that, listen, Joab came to the city gate and he said, Abner, I just want to talk to you. If you'll come out here, I can talk to you. Now, he was in the city of refuge. He could have stayed and he'd been saved. And if he'd have stayed till the high priest died, he could have left scot-free and went home and had his family and everything and never been touched by anybody. But now, Joab is seeking to revenge the death of Asahel, his brother. So he goes and he says, Abner, I know you killed him and he was my brother and all, but I just want you to come out here and let's talk about it. And when he stepped outside the gate, he stuck a knife in his fifth rib. And then when they had his funeral, his daddy said, did Abner die as a fool? Well, sure he did. He had sanctity. He had protection. And he went outside the protection that God had provided him, and he got killed because he got outside of the protection that God had prepared and planned. Y'all still with me? Now don't get hung up on lineage and stuff. Look up here at me. Listen. Now, Judas was a New Testament example. He knew where the door to the city of refuge was. His name was Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the door. Yeah. Judas knew where the door to the city of refuge. He knew that Jesus was the only way to get into heaven. And yet, he refused to enter the door. And do you remember what Jesus said whenever Judas and the soldiers came to get him? And he told the soldiers, he said, the one that I kiss is him. You remember what Judas said? Jesus said this, Judas, betrayest thou me, the Son of Man, with a kiss? He kissed the door to salvation, his city of refuge, and died and went to hell. Now I'd say, did Judas die as a fool dies? I would say yes, he did. Now, because of our high priest, he said, now you go in one of those cities, they'll hear your case, and as long as you stay there until the high priest dies, you'll be all right. And then when he dies, your time is paid, and you can go home scot-free with a clear record. You ever thought about this? Our high priest died. Hebrews chapter 6. Turn over there. Hebrews chapter 6. The high priest to our city of refuge died. Hebrews chapter 6. Look at it with me. Hebrews chapter 6. Look at. Start with the second part of that verse 18. We might have a strong consolation who have fled for what? Refuge. To lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth in that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now you got two things there. Number one, he entered the city death, heaven for us, and after the order of a man, the Son of Man, he came to die for our sins. So our high priest as a man died on the cross, but as God, he entered that city as Melchizedek, the high priest who the Bible says never died. So therefore, I don't have to worry about the high priest. Mine's going to live forever. Amen? As long as he lives, I live. As long as he lives, I'm protected. Boy, some of y'all would be jumping pews. I wish you knew what I was talking about. Amen. Some of y'all babs, you know it all. Amen. It's hard to bless you. But I'll tell you something. Judas went to hell because he kissed the door to the city of refuge and refused it. Abner went to hell because he stepped into the gates and turned right around trying to get in by himself, trying to get forgiveness by himself. He lost his life because he didn't stay in the city of refuge.
Amen.
You know, I've known Christians lose their life because they came outside the city of refuge. Now, I don't mean their eternal life. They're saved eternally. But I've seen Christians get saved by the grace of God because they come into Jesus Christ and the rest and the peace and the purity and the protection that he gives us. And they entered into that. And then something happened along the way. And they decided that they would be all right by themselves. And they leave the Lord. And they go to an early grave because they did that. You know, old devil, he's just waiting for us to get outside the will of God. He wishes you would be an Abner. He wishes you would. He'd like to kill you. He tried before you got saved. And now God said you can't touch him. And he says you can't do anything unless it goes through this hand first because he's in my hand. And then some Christians will wrestle themselves out of the will of God, go outside the safety, outside the rest, and think they're going to make it on their own, and we'll all end up down at the funeral home early. It's a scary thing to get out of the will of God. Ah, preacher, I got this. No, you don't. Oh, preacher, I can handle this. No, you can't. That's why you need a Savior. You can't handle it. You ain't no better than anybody else. Some of these men act like they're heroes because and they're tough guys because they're going to hell. It don't take a tough guy to go to hell. Anybody can go to hell. It takes a tough guy, a tough gal to live for God and stay in the will of God. Every once in a while, I'd like to jump outside that gate and just knock me some blocks off too. But I ain't going to do it. I ain't going to do it. Hey, that revenger's waiting out there on me. Hey, he's got a list already against me. He hates my guts and he hates yours too. Sister Mary, you're a sweet woman. But the devil would kill you in a minute if God let him. And by the way, God's keeping a record. Y'all ever thought about that? God's keeping a record. And when I say that, y'all think of bad, but God's keeping a record of your good.
Amen.
It's the devil that's keeping a record of your bad.
That's right.
And he sure wishes you'd come outside the gate so he could lay it on you, buddy. I might ought to say this time I have a business meeting, but I'm going to say it anyway. Today, Billy Burgess came to me and he says, has there ever been a time you think that you wouldn't vote somebody in if they came for membership? I said, yeah. There's going to come a time. If they've stepped outside the will of God and stepped outside the city of refuge, you better not let them in your house.
Come on now.
The revenger is going to come in right behind them. He'll follow them. And we got to have enough courage and wisdom. Sometimes look at people and say, you might ought to go somewhere else. Come on, help me. I'm not just telling by the way they look, but by what they, the way they are. Not what they've done, but what they will do. You got to be real careful. Abner was a fool. You wouldn't have wanted Abner at your house. Joab was hunting him. If he had to kill you to kill him, he might kill you to get to him. And you better watch out. I tell young people all the time, I wouldn't be riding in a young person's car that was out of the will of God. I wouldn't be found in the house with people that's outside the will of God. It may be the avengers coming that night to claim his soul, and you might get in the way. Amen? Well, preacher, you're trying to scare me. Yeah, I am. I am. Outside the gate, the city of refuge that we call Jesus Christ, there is no protection. Some of you could stand up and testify tonight how you got out of the will of God and God let the devil whip you. God let the devil whip you. God didn't do that. The Bible says he'll turn you over to your own lust. And your own lust will whip you. The devil will take your lust and beat you over the head with them and kill you if God would let him. You better run to that city called Jesus. March the 5th, 1978, I came down that aisle crying like a little old baby. And I ran to the city of refuge. And if you'd have gotten my way, I'd have knocked you down.
Amen.
I saw my only hope. I knew where I came from and I knew where I was headed. There wasn't no pride about me saying I'm going to make it on my own. I knew I was going to hell. If anybody, I knew if anybody qualified, I qualified. And I'm looking for a way out. You know, lost people, those old rock singers, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, sang one time about the aliens coming back to get us. You know, the ones that left us here, they called it. The ones that left us here. Well, the one that left me here ain't no stinking alien, amen? He's very well known. And he lives in a city called the City of God, the New Jerusalem. And I've already fled to that for my rest. I'm depending on him and nothing else. That guy, he accidentally killed somebody. Cutting wood. Let's just say, and he killed somebody. And it wasn't but a few minutes. Word got back down to the house to his brother. And he sees his brother running up through there. He says, uh-oh, he's coming to get me. And he takes off with the closest city. And when he gets up to the gate, he meets the elders. And he tells them what's going on. And that he needs refuge. And they let him in. He didn't go up there and say, well, you know, I'm a pretty good guy. I ain't that bad. I don't know why he's trying to kill me. He just went up there and said, somebody's trying to kill me and I need some refuge. Amen. You can't make deals with God. You better go to him and say, God, you're right. I am a slayer of innocent blood. I might not have done it physically, but I've done it spiritually and emotionally. And just like Jesus said, if I thought it in my heart, I've already done it. We've all killed people in our heart. And I need some help, Lord. He didn't go up there and say, well, you know, I'm a pretty good guy, and I got a college degree, and I've had this same job for 20 years, and I'm respectable. I pay my taxes. I give tithes to the church. No, sir. He went in there crying and weeping. I need some help. Tired of these people claim they saved. They've never called on Jesus to save them. Well, I'm a Christian. Well, how'd you get saved? Well, I joined the church. I quit all this stuff and I joined the church. You're going to go to hell.
Right. Come on.
You're not saved. That's not how you get saved. You must be born again.
Yes.
What you did, you made a deal with the preacher. Preacher, if you let me join the church, I'll get a haircut and I'll change clothes and I'll start tithing. And you think your deal with that preacher got you in the church. And you're not even a member of the church now. You just think you are. God don't make deals. You get drunk and you're hugging that commode. Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. You're hugging that commode and throwing up in that commode or wake up in your own vomit, you know, drugs and all that stuff. And you wake up and say, Lord, if you'll help me this time, I will never do it again. He knows you're lying. What you need to do is say, Lord, I need in the city. I'm a mess. I'm tore up. I'm messed up. The devil's out to kill me. The world hates me. I can't find any refuge. Can't find any rest. Lord, let me in. I believe Jesus died for my sins. I believe he rose from the dead. And you said if I'd call on you, save me, Lord.
Yes.
I wouldn't die like Abner. I'm not making deals with anybody. I ain't got nothing to deal with. Nothing in my hand I bring only to the cross I claim. I ain't got nothing. Besides, everything I got is just old filthy rags to him. People act like they're doing God a favor by giving him their life. Your life ain't no good without him. You're not giving him anything. He's not making a deal with you. He's the one giving everything. All you're doing is receiving. And then Judas. Before I was saved, I wondered how people could go to church and say they was Christians and be the way they were. I grew up around people who said they was Christians, but all that meant was they went to church once a week. The rest of the time, they were just like the rest of us. Come on. I went down to that church. I have no intentions of joining church. I knew I wasn't worthy. You know what I used to do? We had two babies, Suzanne and Becky. Before I was saved, they were, you know, still babies. And I'd tell my wife, I'd say, I'll carry one. And it wasn't because I was trying to be a good father. It was because I didn't want to shake those people's hands. I wasn't mad at them. I didn't dislike them. I just felt like I wasn't good enough to shake those people's hands. So I'd hold the baby as an excuse not to shake the Christian's hand. When if I'd known the truth, they wasn't any better than I was. And without going to that city of refuge called Jesus, they'd been going to hell too. Now I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to quit. Will you die as a fool dies like Abner? Or will you flee to the high priest and enter in the city of refuge? I'm in. All the devils in hell couldn't get me out, buddy. Amen. Now, I've stepped out a few times, found out it's still dangerous back in there, and I jumped right back in. Amen. Have you ever fled to Jesus and counted on him for refuge? That's why we call it saved. Let's stand. Father, thank you for